This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Good afternoon. I'm Mark Purcell. Helping artists and creative types launch their business. Co-Starters is the business development program at Artworks. Artworks Director of Creative Enterprise, Katie Garber, talks about the new name and new curriculum for the program, formerly known as Springboard. That's in about 15 minutes. And later, Thane Maynard speaks with Dr. M. Sanyahan about saving Earth in the age of man. The doctor will be in Cincinnati tomorrow night for the next in the zoo's Barrows Conservation Lecture Series. But to begin with, Cincy and NYC goes to dinner. Last week, as the Big Arts and Business Showcase in the Big Apple shared Cincinnati's wealth with New York City fans, several Cincinnati chefs shared their culinary talents at the James Beard House in Greenwich Village. Cincinnati Magazine dining editor and talented chef herself, Joanne Drilling, was there and joins me here in the studio to talk about the event. If you participated in Cincy at NYC, maybe get a chance to eat that dinner, please call. Share your stories, 513-419-7100, or email us, talk at wvxu.org. Joanne, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks so much.
Well, set the table for us. How did this dinner at the James Beard House come about?
Well, first of all, Jean-Robert de Cavelle, who has cooked at the James Beard House before, because it's a big honor to be invited to cook there. So he's cooked there before, and this time when he was invited to kind of coincide with the Cincy and NYC, kind of artistic takeover that was happening, he decided to bring some of the best chefs in the city along with him. And so together they collaborated on a really, really great dinner.
Now, the James Beard House, you say he was invited, and you have to be invited as a chef to cook there.
You do. I should probably back up and say that James Beard was a food writer who helped bring French cuisine to the American kind of middle class in the 1950s. And he published 20 books. He had his own TV show. And he also had a cooking school and traveled and taught cooking classes to, you know, small groups and things. So when he passed away in 1985, I think, his house was left into kind of a foundation. And Julia Child was part of a group that really spearheaded turning it into a center for learning and the continuation of the culinary arts. And so in addition to giving scholarships and the James Beard Awards, which are actually sort of like the Academy Awards of cooking, they also have events every year. And so they enlist chefs to come and do dinners where people who sometimes are subscribers, people who regularly come, and sometimes it's just random people off the street can come and try a composed dinner by, you might say, a celebrity chef.
So this is the James Beard Foundation, actually. They call it the James Beard
right.
House, and
it's
a foundation. But it's actually not a house because it is Greenwich Village, so it's condo, right?
Well, it's like a brownstone. It
is
a traditional brownstone. And so it's actually kind of funny, the kitchen that all these chefs cooked in, and they literally brought all their ingredients. It wasn't like they sent, you know, they FedEx the stuff. One of the younger cooks drove a truck from Cincinnati with these huge, like, coffin-sized coolers full of food that was iced down, ingredients, meat, things like that, because they brought a lot of kind of, more local ingredients. So, like, Julie Francis did the Kentucky lamb. We had,
the caviar from Big Fish?
We had the Big Fish caviar. We had charcuterie from here in Cincinnati, things like that. So they brought the ingredients there, and then they actually cooked everything the day of the event. And so imagine 8 chefs cooking in a small residential kitchen, because that's what it was.
It's a nice kitchen, because I
it
did see
nice
WCPO had some, Matt Pikin there had some great footage, and I noticed your curls on that video there, so you were there too, Joanne.
I was there, and I was helping. That was kind of the deal that I made with Jean-Robert, that I would come and help for free so that I could write a behind-the-scenes article for the magazine about it. So it would be kind of a timeline of, this is what time everyone showed up, this is what time we started cooking this and started cooking that, and kind of how the whole dinner unfolded.
So you didn't cook for your dinner, you cooked for your article is what you did.
I did. Unfortunately, I didn't sit down and eat dinner.
And so you were writing a behind-the-scenes article, and that will be in
In
the July issue of Cincinnati
right.
Magazine. So you gather all these chefs together. Jean-Robert, I know he's quite a leader. Share who was there and a little of what they prepared.
Okay, well, definitely Jean-Robert was there, and like I said, he selected the chef, so he brought David Cook from David's Next in Loveland. He brought David Falk and Jeremy Lieb from the Boca Restaurant Group. Julie Francis from Nectar, Jose Salazar from Salazar, Stephen Williams from Bouquet, and Jean-Philippe Salnum from the French Crest Cafe.
And so they each did both an hors d'oeuvre and an entree, right?
They did. So we had a past canapé course at the beginning, which means they each made a little thing. Like, for example, Jean-Robert hollowed out some little fingerling potatoes and filled them with garlic butter and a snail and a pepper relish called piperade. Jose actually shucked oysters to order. I was like, I was blown away because he was over there just shucking away, and his oysters came with pineapple, cilantro, and a little sprinkle of pimenton. David Falk did a little croque madame, which is like a little sandwich with mangalista ham. Let's see, Steven did some pork charcuterie that he cured that was sourced from Kentucky that came on a little cucumber slice. Julie did a skewer of sweetbreads with Kentucky, like country ham and little bits of apple. And David Cook did the foie gras torchon with some apricot compote. So it was, they were not little chips and dip. I mean, we're talking, these guys went all out to make these really high-end canapés, and that was in addition to the actual courses that they cook for dinner.
I have to apologize if you hear my stomach growling during the rest of this interview, because I'm getting hungry and haven't eaten lunch yet, so get me salivating here. But
yes.
I'm speaking with Joanne Drilling, the dining editor at Cincinnati Magazine, about Cincy and NYC and the big dinner at the James Beard House. Details on our website at WVXU.org. Or share your stories if you participated in Cincy and NYC or were lucky enough to enjoy some of these hors d'oeuvres and entrees. 513-419-7100. Now, you mentioned locally sourced food, and this was the Cincy and NYC, a big showcase for, the Cincinnati Ballet, the Symphony, and the May Festival performing at Carnegie Hall. They had the Playhouse in the Park, Taft Museum, Cincinnati Art Museum, a long list, 9 organizations. And this was just an extension, because this is really sharing what's great about Cincinnati and what a lineup here. I mean, Joanne, it doesn't get any better than this.
It really doesn't. And it was incredible. There was a lot of energy and love for the city. I have to tell you that on the canapé courses, they were passed. Normally, they just come with a little cocktail napkins, and we had Cincinnati Bengals napkins. So there was a lot of hometown pride, trust me. I mean,
and that was a shared also in the food, because you were mentioning the locally sourced food, that there was a lot that came from here, right?
Definitely. And I feel like the chefs were really committed to showing, the one wonderful ingredients that we have here in our region.
So what it was like in this, small, I was saying something to one of the fellows in the studio here before about too many cooks in the kitchen, and you kind of laughed because you said small residential kitchen and here are 7 chefs there or even more people working.
It was intense, but I think, one of the things that chefs are used to, and some of these chefs have, big, beautiful kitchens, but others, especially David Cook, if you've ever been to his restaurant, he has a small kitchen now. He had a teeny tiny kitchen at his Mount Adams restaurant. And so he's really a master of working in a really small space and knowing which things to do first, which tasks to do next, so that he's maximizing his space at all times. And I think a lot of these chefs, whether they cook in a restaurant like that now, have cooked at one in the past, and they know exactly how to, to utilize their space well.
And the kitchen, from what I've seen the video of, that's a rather nice kitchen there at the James Beard House.
It is nice. They have the nice big butcher block countertops and a good gas range, so it is. It's good.
So any elbows being thrown with all these people, dodging each other in the kitchen, getting in the weeds there? I mean, what was the atmosphere like since you were there working?
I mean, it was good. First thing in the morning, it was really serious. It was really quiet because everybody, felt the pressure that there was a lot of work to be done. Most of us had gone out to get together the night before to Gramercy Tavern for dinner. So we'd been fed well, and some people went out and spend a little more time out. And so there might have been a few headaches in the group, but everybody was really serious and focused. And at first it was extremely quiet. Whenever there's a lot of work to be done, there's not much talking in the kitchen. But, as we got closer and people got more comfortable and, the prep is always the intense time because how much work you have ahead of you. So as you get closer to the service, it's like, okay, we've got everything together. Now we just put it together. And so I think then, people started laughing and, getting a little bit more excited.
So what was the sense among the chefs and, knowing that they're doing this very special dinner? I mean, what did you see and observe? Because we've worked with a lot of these people before. You know them. They're, both colleagues and competitors, or used to be at times.
I have.
What Did you see the best or worst of all come out as you were working in
the
kitchen?
Oh, definitely the best. Definitely the best. I mean, every single person here was really honored to be there, you know, to represent the city, but also to cook at the James Beard House is a really big deal for chefs. And I know that, you know, I talked to Julie Francis about it a little bit at the end, and she was like, you know, this is it. This is such a big honor. You know, and I think everybody really felt that. And, you know, a decent amount of the spouses of the chefs came. Some of them stayed behind and were keeping the restaurant going. You know, while Jean Robert's wife, Annette, wasn't able to come, she coordinated all the reservations and the hotels and things like that. Stephen Williams' fiance, Jessica, stayed behind and ran the restaurant at Bouquet. So, I mean, there was a lot of intense, you know, support for these people. But also, you know, and Jose Salazar's mom and his wife came, which I thought was really wonderful.
Really?
And I was teasing him about it before. I was like, your mom is coming. That's awesome. You know, because every mom was proud of, you know, their son or daughter who cooked here. So.
And yours?
Of course. My parents were very proud. They took care of my son so I could go. So.
Oh, that's good. Well, let's go on to the entree. We only have 3 or 4 minutes left. But so we start out with the hors d'oeuvres before the dinner. And for the dinner, it seemed, you know, how were all these plates served? I would imagine these diners left the James Beard House. I think they probably had to be rolled out in a
cart. I think they were
pretty
full.
So talk about some of the things that were served at dinner.
So do you want to just run through kind of the different...
Just hit the highlights.
I don't know if that's fair.
Okay.
Because then you leave some people out.
All right. Run them down.
Let's run through. Okay. So Jose did the first course was a flouque, which is a whitefish crudo with green strawberries and spring vegetables and a yuzu gelée. And then Jean Robert did the next course, which was a Maine lobster salad. And he used the local caviar from Big Fish Farms with beets and avocado. And David Falk and Jeremy Lieb did a Robbiolo Cappelletti with house-cured guanciale, fava beans, and a really rich brown butter sabayon.
Oh, I'll have to ask you to back up. So what exactly is that?
So the sabayon is it's kind of like a custard that comes on top. So it had the pasta in the bottom with the fava beans, which were diced up, and the guanciale, which is like a pig jowl. And then the sabayon was on top, and then it got cheese and pepper on top of that. So it just was like a little teacup of a dish. It was very tiny, but very rich. And there was also some beef broth in that. I should probably say that. But then the halibut, which came next, was from Stephen Williams, and he had a nice pistachio relish on top and a pickled rhubarb with fennel and edamame and shiitakes and a really, really nice soy ginger reduction sauce. And then David Cook, who always has a sense of humor, did a goose getta. So he had a smoked duck breast with goose getta representing the Queen City for sure, and with some wild juniper. And then Julie did the entree, which was just incredible. And it was a Kentucky rack of lamb with foule, which is kind of like basically like hummus, but instead of using chickpeas and dried fava beans, which are sometimes used, it's all fava beans. And then she had morel mushrooms and asparagus and preserved lemon and a harissa sauce. And that was just really stellar. Everyone was very impressed by that. And then, of course, Jean-Philippe did a composition of different kinds of chocolates and strawberries. But he had fresh strawberries and things on it, but he also had something that looked like a real strawberry, but which was in fact like a chocolate. So it was red and it looked just like a strawberry, but it was a hard chocolate shell full of like a hazelnut mousse on the inside. And it was really hard not to like eat them as we were plating them. They were so good.
Well, unfortunately, all these people were, yourself included, made all this great food, but didn't necessarily get to enjoy any of it.
Yeah, that is one of the things, you know, about cooking. And for most of these chefs, you know, you're tasting and you're making sure that things are cooked properly. And you might, you know, nibble a little bit of this and nibble a little bit of that. But then we did go out and do some eating afterwards. So
I bet you did. So what was the reaction? I mean, there were, some 80 people who were for the dinner?
Just under 80 people. And it was really well received. I mean, at the very end. You know, Jean Robert went up and thanked everyone for coming. And, you know, there was definitely a hearty applause. There was a variety of people from New York City, but also people from Cincinnati who I recognize as being really regular diners at some of the higher end restaurants who made the trip, you know, just to support the chefs, which was great.
Wow. Well, it sounds like it was a blast. And it was fun. You were mentioning before we went on the air that you have some pictures and the like on the Cincinnati Magazine website.
We do. So if you go to cincinnatimagazine.com and you click on the Another Bite dining blog, we've got some photographs and we've reprinted the menu so you can see exactly what was created.
We have that link on our site, wvxu.org, as well. And Joanne, thank you for sharing all this insight. I can't wait to get hungry again reading your article in the July issue.
All right, sounds good. Thanks again.
Joanne Drilling is the dining editor of Cincinnati Magazine. You'll read more about her trip to the Big Apple as part of Cincy and NYC in an upcoming issue of the magazine, the July issue. And check that out. Again, a link on our website to the Cincinnati Magazine website.